It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Trying to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. There are exactly 7 weeks left before we reach the edge of the fiscal cliff. That's the moment when taxes would automatically go up and spending would be cut unless Congress and the White House can reach a deal. Now, it's easy to get lost in the politics of all of this, so we are going to go far from Washington now, out to Newport Beach, California, where you will find PIMCO, the world's largest bond fund, and CEO Mohammed El-Erian joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are your concerns when it comes to the possibility of the United States going over the fiscal cliff?
Concerns are very simple. The design of the fiscal cliff assumed the following, that if you threaten catastrophe, and pushing this country into recession would be catastrophic because we haven't yet recovered from the previous recession.
Right.
But if you were to threaten the politicians with catastrophe, you would get them to agree. But the design ignored two things. First, our political system is so polarized that it's very difficult to get the Republicans to trust the Democrats and the other way around. Second, the assumption was, well, if we can't get them to trust each other, then the citizens would put tremendous pressure on them. But it's only now, 6 weeks from the fiscal cliff, that the country as a whole is starting to focus on this.
What would happen to the economy if we went over to the fiscal cliff? When you say recession, I mean, how serious are we talking about?
We would contract by 1 to 2%. Our unemployment rate, stuck at 7.9%, would go up to at least 9%. Our long-term unemployed, currently 41% of the unemployed, would be unemployed for even longer, resulting in greater skill atrophy. And our youth unemployment, we have 24% of 16 to 19-year-olds out of jobs, would go up. And at that age, if you're unemployed for a while, you become unemployable, meaning a lost generation.
But it's been 4 years since the financial crisis. I mean, if we can't make cuts like this and raise taxes like this right now, when can we do it?
We must make intelligent cuts. Everybody acknowledges that the fiscal cliff is too blunt an instrument to put us back on track. It was a threat that wasn't supposed to materialize. So yes, we need fiscal contraction. The only thing I would remind you is that the reason why we're doing fiscal contraction is to get fiscal sustainability. So if you were to do a very blunt 4 to 5% contraction, which is what the fiscal cliff is, we would undermine economic growth and we would find that you cannot grow out of your debt problems. And if you cannot grow out of your debt problems get worse. The extreme being, of course, Greece.
Finally, you've been mentioned as a possible Treasury Secretary to take over for Tim Geithner in the next Obama administration. Are you going to do that?
So I don't know where this is coming from. All I can tell you is that I've got, you know, a wonderful job and I'm delighted out here in California.
That's a good political answer. You're ready for Washington, it sounds like. Mohammed El-Erian, CEO of PIMCO, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down almost 1% in Tokyo, but up 0.25% right now in London. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow inched up just 4 points to close at 12,815. Well, in honor of Veterans Day, President Obama said yesterday that the nation has a sacred obligation to care for its veterans. He said that applies not just when they return from war, but over the long haul. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on how we're doing.
When John Yeager left the Marines 3 years ago, he had trouble finding work, like a lot of veterans. So he went to college with benefits from the post-9/11 GI Bill.
It's amazing, actually. 100% of my tuition is covered, and almost our entire mortgage payment.
He gets a disability check, too, for a shoulder injury. Yeager says support for veterans seems better for his generation than it was for his father and grandfather, who also served. Tom Tarantino is chief policy officer for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He says injured veterans have strong disability benefits.
But the process to get those benefits is still stuck in the 1960s. It's too hard, it takes too long, and the decisions have a shockingly high error rate.
The Department of Veterans Affairs has been working to modernize the claims process, but Tarantino says there's another threat on the horizon. As Congress takes on the federal budget crisis, he says veterans' benefits could be in danger. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
If you're channel surfing tonight, odds are you're going to come across at least one reality TV show involving a dance competition. Shows like Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance have been big moneymakers for the TV networks. And as Marketplace's David Weinberg reports, they've been great for dance studios as well.
Tonight, more than 13 million viewers will likely tune into NBC's Dancing with the Stars.
The battle to become dancing's all-time greatest begins.
According to Barry Houston, director of the Boston Ballet, home to the largest ballet school in North America, one benefit of the dance show craze is...
You see common people, people like yourself, sort of in a class, learning in front of America, and suddenly it seems accessible and possible to become a dancer at a later point in life.
Houston says his adult enrollment has doubled to 2,000 over the last 3 years, but that doesn't necessarily mean those numbers will continue to rise.
The dropout rate is pretty high, especially in franchise dance studio.
Vincent Bader works at Fred Astaire Dance Studios, which has over 100 locations around the country. He says it's tough to get adults who've never danced to stick with a class. And sticking around could be a problem for dance show viewers as well. Dancing with the Stars ratings continued to drop, reaching its all-time low last week. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally, ever since Mitt Romney lost the election, he has also been losing Facebook friends at a steady clip. 847 friends an hour have been ditching the former candidate, according to Mashable.com. But the good news for Mitt Romney is he has actually been gaining Twitter followers, although he has only tweeted once since the election. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.